previously on the Hooli's Hooli.
The cab drivers and film union.
Yeah. Tommy Rotigliello, president of cab driver
Tommy
motion picture.
Tommy Rotigliello.
President
wow,
of the
what
union.
A name.
Yeah. The president of the local of...
Hey, how you doing? Tommy Rotigliello, president of
Cabbies
and Film. Local 2000 on the dot.
2000 on the dot, local.
I'm not an actual cab driver. I just play one on film.
I just unionized the guys who are on film playing them, okay?
If you get someone to film us, I can give you a ride.
Merry Christmas. Love, Tommy Rotigliello.
The Rotigliellos.
WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me as always is twin brother Billy.
Hey, what's up?
And our greatest pal and maybe the greatest human in the world.
Thank you.
Clayton O'Brien is here.
Finally, you got it right.
I did. I worked on it. Hey, we're in the last week of the year here. Maybe do a little year in review if we like later.
Sure.
I hope everybody had a lovely Christmas, including the Rotigliellos.
They did.
That we discussed at the top of the show here.
They had the Feast of the Seven Fishes over there.
They did.
God bless them this season. God bless everybody. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. Bill, was Santa nice to you?
Santa was great, yeah.
Next question.
You are Santa.
No, he was good. Santa Claus was good.
Me and Patty are Santa now.
That's right.
The beard's gone. Pat's is much more bigger than mine.
Bill jumped right into the facial hair discussion 48 seconds into this episode.
I don't know. I didn't, you know.
He's relating it to Santa. I understand.
I get it, too. Yeah, the beard's coming in. It's rather scratchy. I'm thinking about getting some beard oils.
You look homeless.
Do I look homeless?
Yeah. You're a borderline poet homeless guy.
Yeah.
Homeless
poet.
He's a homeless poet.
Put a lot of those.
Yeah, I thought most homeless guys were poets.
They are. So were your kids excited? Everything so worked out?
Somebody played a homeless poet in a movie. It was
Robin Williams.
No, it was Pesci.
Pesci did. And
With Honors.
With Honors, with Brendan Fraser. Yeah. Maybe Jennifer Jason Leigh, too.
I was thinking of The Fisher King.
The Fisher King, that was a Robin Williams movie.
Yeah, he was homeless or something like that.
Everybody, has there ever been a movie about a homeless guy where there wasn't like somebody with a beard? Tapioca, our film.
It's a great film.
I did not have a beard in Tapioca.
Everyone should see Tapioca.
They should.
Yeah, everyone was surprisingly pretty clean shaven, except for Mark Borchardt's character.
We all played homeless guys, but we all found a place to shave.
Yeah, no one could grow facial hair.
It was a cartoonish element that we added to the film.
Yeah. That should be a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie.
Absolutely.
My dad actually said he watched it. He found it. He was giving copies away of that on Christmas to people at the house. He was like, "You ever see this movie? We made this movie. It was a great movie.
I got a box of them in my trunk.
Watch this movie. It's fantastic."
Yeah.
But
you know what I noticed? It's a Wonderful Life is not can't be found anywhere on television.
No, the rights are secured
by who?
Michael
Jackson?
No, like GE or somebody owned. You know, like some major corporation.
GE Smith.
Yeah, the band director from Saturday Night Live, he secretly procured the rights to It's a Wonderful Life. Wow. It's only allowed to be played on NBC once a year.
I was looking for it, couldn't find it.
Couldn't find it, but you found a Christmas Story on a loop.
Yeah, but I didn't. I'm kind of over that.
You're over a Christmas Story?
It was on and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation were played to death this Christmas.
Really? And Elf. I watched Elf a couple times.
Elf's good. Yeah, I mean, I don't
Elf
know.
Good.
Elf good.
Elf good, yes.
Elf? No, Elf is, there's a lot of funny stuff in Elf.
Who didn't watch Elf?
Mm-hmm.
No, he watched Elf.
Elf?
Wait, no,
Elf?
I said Elf, not Elf.
President Putin, we got you the Elf discs, American Elf discs you hope to watch on Christmas.
Box set.
I meant the Elf, not the Elf.
Dustin.
Exactly. Like his
You're
servant.
The only Russian named Dustin.
His servant brings over
I found you.
A box set of
I found you. You had a little tag that said Dustin.
I'm having a hard time laughing because I have had teeth problems lately.
Yeah, I can see
man.
It.
You lost. So let me explain. I had some bonding fallout, so I got a big gap in my front teeth. Uh-huh. Like I look like David Letterman.
Yeah.
And
then I got like
I like that. Now you just gotta go
I look like you know? I gotta use it to my advantage.
God, I watched Letterman recently. Christmas Eve, I threw on Cabin Boy at about 2 a.m. while we were wrapping presents.
Yeah.
I said to my wife, have you ever seen Chris Elliott in the great film Cabin Boy? It stars Brian Doyle Murray and Chris Elliott, and Letterman has a cameo, actually.
Yep.
Want to buy a monkey?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You filthy little cabin boy, you?
I did not watch Cabin
Clay,
Boy at Christmas.
I do see the Letterman resemblance with the gap in the tooth. No.
Yeah.
You should just keep it. No.
I might go all natural.
Yeah, just go all natural.
I should. You got a little Letterman beard going, so we're all proud of that.
Yeah, right? I guess so. Yeah. It's been a
good one. It almost looks like borderline, it's getting on the Kaczynski kind of look.
Is it?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, Billy's is still Georgie-ish.
I trim it. I just keep it.
Yeah, Bill's has got sharp lines. It's nice and neat. It's like Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince.
Uncle Phil.
Bill has an Uncle Phil beard from
Thank
Fresh
you.
Prince of
Bel-Air. It's called the Uncle Phil.
Can we talk about what Bill's wearing real quick?
Sure.
He's dressed like he's from Southie. Like he's going to rob a pharmacy later.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have all black on, except for my jeans, but yeah.
He's got a black vest and a black hoodie.
And a black parka.
Do you own any vests? Do you have any vests?
I have zero vests.
Bill's got a Patagonia vest on that's a very popular look.
I never understood vests. Why wouldn't you want to keep your arms warm?
Why do you want? What do you want a vest for?
It's about the base core.
It's about the base core, huh?
That's how you sell it to the guy. Hey, you like this vest? Oh, you're a base core guy? Me too, man.
Oh, we just wrote the next ad campaign for Patagonia. It's about base core.
It is about base core.
Yeah.
Do you want your chest and your belly warm?
Yeah.
There's a vest.
I'm a base core guy.
Hey, do you care about your arms? Let me tell you, a vest is right up your alley.
Yeah, I do. Say, like you can move your arms and stuff. It's nice.
You can't move your arms in a jacket? I'm wearing a big trench coat. I could throw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
I don't know.
Fastball.
I can't get comfortable in those anymore. A 90-mile-an-hour fastball in a wool overcoat.
That's the test.
I could.
Hey, we clocked this kid in a wool overcoat throwing 85. That equivocates to like a 92 if we sign him.
Sign him. I think he's from Scotland. Yeah.
A Scottish pitcher.
Yeah, Joey McGonigal. From Scotland. He's 6'3", 220.
It'd be amazing.
It'd be weird if everybody in Major League Baseball had to wear overcoats for a season.
That one guy in the Dodgers looks like he could be from Scotland.
The Viking. Yeah, he looked like a Viking, too.
Justin, what's his face?
Was it Turner?
Yeah.
Who cares? He didn't win the World Series.
Yeah. No, Christmas. Let's get back to it. Any interesting gifts?
No, Santa, but the big gift this year was obviously we all got new beds in the household.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah,
right. That was a gift to the family.
New mattresses or new whole beds?
No, I got my kids a whole new bedroom set.
Did you get race car beds?
No, just your typical bunk beds with a nice dresser.
Oh, so they're in bunk beds now?
Yep, I moved into bunk beds. They were not in bunk beds, and I wanted to have more space in the room.
My kids, too, are in bunk beds.
Are they?
They hit their heads a lot.
Yeah, but I can get,
You got to learn.
You got to learn somehow. You got to learn how to sleep right somehow.
I didn't sleep in a bunk bed until Marquette.
Me either. I never was in a bunk. Me and my brother didn't care for each other.
No.
I didn't sleep much at Marquette, to tell you the truth, when I had the bunk bed.
Although
I
slept the whole semester.
Sophomore year,
bed. That's all you did.
Yes.
Well.
You smoked and slept. In that order.
Smoking and sleeping and studying. Smoking.
You would smoke
smoking
while
and
I slept.
Sleeping and working. Mm-hmm.
You would smoke while I slept, and then I would smoke while you slept.
Perfect place to live.
It was like prison.
It really was. Like, you'd go into your room, and, like, one of you guys...
The dorm rooms,
one guy would be sleeping, the other guy would be, like, at a desk with, like, a lit cigarette, like, hello.
The bed would be flipped upside, and you'd be doing pull-ups on it.
It was.
There'd be, like, a fan going with, like, downy fresh sheets on it to, like, try to make the room smell.
But it was just, like, concrete cinder block walls.
and a sink.
Yeah.
But there was no...
there was
we
no
had a
escape.
Communal bathroom. No go. Remember our...
I lost my mind in that joint a couple times.
Oh, remember we just didn't have hangers and people were like, where are your clothing? We were like, it's in that pile.
Yeah. It's all around you.
Yeah, like no folding of laundry, just big piles.
It's on my body.
That's kind of like what it's kind of like what people's living rooms look like after Christmas. Just piles of stuff.
Yeah,
everywhere.
I just went through that. And Clay, the cleanup after Christmas is...
It's horrible.
I was like,
The assembly is horrible. Well, we got the boys a
race car thing. That's what we had.
It's a train table.
Yep.
So it's like this big, like oak table, and it's got a train like town on top of it.
That's cool. Like a train set.
Yeah, we actually put it together the day before.
You assembled the day before
Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to play the game of hiding it.
For
2 days in a very small house.
Mm-hmm.
So like, how's this gonna work? Took some trickery.
Yeah, we got Charlotte's big gift this year was a
pony.
a pony.
Yeah.
It pooped all over the house.
A Shetland pony that crept all over my living room.
But she loved it.
She loved it. All right. Silly me.
What was my princess
big,
loved
what
it.
What was the big gift?
My princess loved it. But silly me.
What was the big gift?
The big gift was a piano. It was a keyboard.
Oh,
electric
nice.
Keyboard.
Nice.
With a, you know, a mic and a bench and a stand and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Church lady.
She into it?
What?
She into it?
She's not. She was. Yeah, she's into it. But she's like, you know, not as into it as I had hoped yet. You know, she's like kind of noodling around with it a little bit. Mike, on the other hand, my little guy, is like all over it. Like turns the mic on and he goes, you know, and like starts hammering on the keys and trying to figure it out. And I'm like, well, this guy's like, he's into it.
He's singing a lot of traditional Turkish songs?
Most likely, yeah.
Traditional Turkish Christmas.
Wouldn't that be weird if you had a neighbor that was Turkish that came over and said, there's something weird about your son. Yeah. Did you know that when he noodles around at the piano that he is speaking fluent Turkish? How old is this boy?
He's saying...
He's three.
He's...
I need to radio my people.
Let me see him. He does not look Turkish.
Yeah. How bizarre. No one in the house speaks Turkish?
How big are his hands?
No one speaks Turkish. See you later, Raj. Boop, boop.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though?
Yeah, so those are piano fantasies.
You can actually... Yeah. There
piano
is,
fantasies.
And you know what? Christmas...
That's Patty's book.
Christmas gifts can make people do crazy things like that and... Start speaking possibly
in tongues. Yeah, right.
Maybe even foreign tongues.
Right. Yeah.
There is one thing, though, that I know that sometimes gives people that kind of mystical
power. Dip your tongue in some oatmeal.
McCann's Irish oatmeal.
That's right.
It's like the salmon of wisdom.
That's right.
It's the greatest oatmeal in the land and on earth.
Sure.
It's available at your local grocery store. This show is presented.
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 Presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We'll return after this.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the south side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips. Or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's Daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's Daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooley Show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Tell him your story. We're back. Hooli's Hooli, 1240 a.m.
Yeah.
Yes.
A rowdy holiday ride before the break there, recapping Christmas a little bit.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
And now we gear up for the new year.
I'm ready for it.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
2017 wasn't bad to me.
No, 2017 was very good to me. But I got a feeling that 2018
I had a daughter.
Better.
That's a good thing.
That's wonderful, yeah.
It was good overall.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm above, you know, above ground. I feel like
walk around, I got all my fingers.
Right. Hey, I got all my fingers. I'm above ground.
Yeah.
I can talk. I got a radio show where people don't scrutinize what I say.
I didn't get carjacked.
I didn't get carjacked?
Yet.
No. Yet. Yet.
No. That's my bit. I got a big fear about getting carjacked.
Do you really?
Well, my job requires me to be in 10 different places a day.
Right.
There's a lot of downtime where I'm sitting in my car kind of staring at my phone and I got to kill an hour or kill a half hour.
Yeah, so you feel like you're just kind of playing with fire by just being on the
street. I kind of feel like that too sometimes. I mean, I'm jumping in and out of my car all day long.
I don't know. I'm always looking at in the rear views and I got my hand on the machete.
My hand on that machete.
A painter wielding a machete was witnessed saving the lives of 35 people outside of an Aldi in Highland Park this weekend. His name was Clayton O'Brien. He learned his machete skills as a young Irish tot in River Forest.
Yeah, the tough place to
go. As a young juvenile delinquent.
Right. Yeah. My dad gave me a machete when I was 17. I asked him for it. He gave it to me.
I just practiced.
I just practiced. How'd you get so good at your machete, sir? I practiced. Duh. You know? That is a weird... Oh, we're right at it.
I know.
I saw they have machetes available at... the Home Depot.
The night before.
So I got word Friday before Christmas that my
makes a great gift.
Yeah. Well, my Christmas tree had toppled over.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, oh, no, I know what it is. And what it was is that I didn't bring my tree stand this year to the place where I bought the tree and have it sized properly.
Yeah.
So by the time I got the tree home, I'm like, you know, there's probably a couple limbs off the bottom that need to come off, you know? But right. I'm just gonna see if I can get by without doing that,
because
I don't have the tools, you know.
You don't have a saw or anything like that.
Put it together. It was okay.
You
it
got
was,
a steak knife, don't you?
Yeah, I didn't want to do
steak
that.
Steak knife. This guy be sawing for a long time.
Didn't want to do that?
I didn't want to ruin my knife.
You didn't want to ruin your steak.
My nice steak knives? No.
You're constantly eating steak.
Yeah, I ate a lot of steak at the house. Salisbury steak, that is.
Hungry Man's.
Which is fire, by the way, with a little brown gravy. We've discussed Salisbury, my love for Salisbury steak.
We had a whole episode about Salisbury steak about a year and a half ago.
We did, and it's Salisbury steak weather, so no, I don't want to, you know.
Don't get started on it.
Anyway, back to my Christmas tree woes.
Back to your limbs.
Back to my, yeah, so I don't want to take these limbs off, and eventually my fears are confirmed as the tree topples, and my wife's
right.
Like, well, the tree topple. I'm like, all right, I'll come home.
Completely over on its side?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And my wife's like, oh, I leaned it up against the wall. You got to take it out of the stand, and you're going to have to sever those branches or figure out how to get this thing back up. I'm like, all right.
So you bought a machete.
So I go home, and I jump in the car, and Charlotte's like, can I come with? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So we go to Home Depot, and I'm walking around. I'm like, I need a tree pruner. Like, you know, one of those little, like, kind of pliers, you know? Like,
yeah. We used to work at public works.
Hey, little loppers. We used to call them loppers.
I need a big tree scissors.
Where are the tree scissors at? Pardon me, you work here?
You're wearing orange.
Point me to the tree scissors.
Hey, you got orange on. You work here or what?
Right. So, and I actually, that happened. You know, it's a very large place. I cornered a guy. I said, hey, I got to cut a couple branches off the bottom of my
Christmas
tree.
He must have thought you were a complete idiot.
No, he looked at me. He goes, uh-huh. I go, do I need a little saw or a tree pruner? Like, can you recommend a sharp blade to
you
do
need
such
a table saw.
Right? And he's like, well, there's those over here, and then over there you got, like, the garden and nursery stuff. Check that out. I was like, all right. So I went over there, and it was, there it was. You can buy, either a little electric, you know, trying to chainsaw deal for $200. I'm like, I'll never, I need a one-time thing.
You could have got one of those and carved meat with one.
Well, then I saw that Christmas tree stands.
You probably could have broke it off with your hand.
I go, maybe I just buy a brand new Christmas tree stand rather than buy a lopper. You know?
Boy. Robbing Peter to pay Paul on the whole thing. Just get it over with.
Brand new Christmas tree stands were $4.99.
$5? Okay.
Yeah, I go, this is a steal.
So
I go,
you got it.
And it was nice and robust and was one of the better ones I've ever bought. And I grabbed it and went home, taking this. Maybe I don't have to cut the limbs off and just put it in this much bigger stand and we'll make it work. I also bought a very large blade as well. And this is the best. So I bring that home in the event, you know, that the new tree stand doesn't work out. I'm still going to have to cut this thing off. If not, I'll return it.
Right.
Cost me $20. It was, but yeah, they had machetes on the wall.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
That's weird. People just come in here and just buy machetes.
Buy five machetes.
Right. In any event, I bought a very large blade and got checked out and came home and boom, the new stand worked, right?
Yeah.
Now, I go, I don't know what I'm going to do with this other big blade. And my mother-in-law's partner, Joe.
Yeah.
All right. He's kind of a camouflage wearing guy. You know, he lives up in the
outdoorsman.
Yeah, he's an outdoorsman up from up in the UP. And he's always got like a little buck knife on him, you know, to like open a box or something like that. Charlotte's like, you know who would want that blade? I go, who? She goes, Joe. I go, Haley, should I give Joe this knife for Christmas? She's like, no. You know, like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, all right. And then I'm going to. I said to Joe, I go, I got this extra blade. Do you think you could use it? He's like, sure. We're gonna cut some weeds down with it.
You know. So it worked out for everybody.
Worked out for everybody, you know.
Why didn't you want to keep the blade,
Joe's
though?
Getting a blade, and now I got a Christmas tree.
When do you keep your
tree? That stands upright.
Keep your tree till.
Epiphany.
Say again?
Epiphany in the Catholic Church, they call that. That's January 6th, I believe. It's the week that follows Christmas, the Sunday that follows Christmas.
I think so, yeah.
I took mine down.
It's when the Magi visited and the three wise men showed up.
I took mine down already.
Did you? Yeah. You're like, Christmas, get it done! It's over by 8 p.m.
See you in hell, Christmas.
Uh-huh.
God.
Boy.
You treat it like a Super Bowl party, just like everything in the garbage. Boom, everybody get
out.
We
got limited space now. We got too many kids. There's stuff everywhere, so we can't afford to give up the 4x4 feet it takes to.
I'm in the same spot. I was like, all right. I said to the kids, I go, we got to do a purge now. You got a bunch of new toys. The old toys are going to have to be donated.
See, we did that in secret. We didn't tell the kids we did that.
They just disappeared. They can't
find
them.
We just looked at the stuff. Yeah, like you've never. You haven't touched this one. This one is like half of something that's broken.
Yeah.
Right.
So we did. We just cleared them out and had a couple garbage bags.
Like, what about like Charlotte's stuff, like Barbies where the heads have been torn off and stuff like that?
Yeah, you're right, Clay. You have to just do that because your kids will want to keep everything. There's a sentimental value to every like little
toy. You just
toy.
Tell your kids, for every toy you get on Christmas, you throw away five.
Oh my goodness. You sounded like the evil dad in like a Christmas Lifetime movie. Can you give me that line again? Deliver that? How'd that go?
For every toy you get for Christmas, you throw away five.
Whoa.
Right to Haley Joel Osment's young little face.
tear falling from
his
eye.
Right. Okay.
Elijah Wood.
Now go to your room, Dustin.
Thank you, Bill. Now back to your room, Dustin. Your mom and I got something we need to talk about.
Get your numbers book out.
Get your numbers book out.
Get to learning.
Now go on the bedroom.
A very Southern Christmas.
A very Southern Christmas. Now go in a room and do your number book while
starring the Walnut family.
While I talk to your mom.
Dustin Walnut.
Dustin Walnut. Ricky Walnut. Dad's Ricky.
Starring Dustin and Ricky Walnut.
And Barbara.
And Barbara Walnut.
So ridiculous.
Starring Dustin, Ricky, and Barbara Walnut. It's a Southern Christmas.
Real upbeat announcer. Right. Real dark show.
Right. It's a Southern Christmas.
Go to your room, Dustin. Now! Door slamming.
Shot of a shotgun blast going off.
A house exploding.
It's freezing cold every night. Like the shutters and the windows are like...
A 67 GTO comes through a garage door, blasts off the sides of the door. It's amazing. Oh, man. We're writing that movie.
Yeah, oh yeah.
A Very Southern Christmas.
About, it's like a combination about between the Ozarks and the Christmas movie.
About the Walnut family.
Yep. The Walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, the Walnuts.
Back in the day, the Walnuts used to do different things.
Walnuts
Christmas.
Were big in these parts.
What'd you do on Christmas Eve, Bill?
Christmas Eve?
Listen, Christmas is over. Forget it. What do you do on New Year's Eve, Billy?
Oh.
New Year's Eve, I'm bartending.
Big money night for Billy.
I'm bartending with him.
Yeah.
Where at? Where are you guys?
We're doing a wedding.
Shirtless twin bartenders?
Shirtless twin bartenders with beards and stringy hair.
Yeah.
Get ready for sexy time.
Uh-huh.
You should write sexy on your chest and Bill can write time on his.
I like
done.
It.
Sexy time.
Who wants a rum and coke?
Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year's. In Chicago, it's years plural.
Yeah, Happy New
Year's. Hey, how are you? Happy New Year's to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's. You ready for the New Year's?
I did a lot of hand.
Jimmy's been working on his numbers books. It's going to be real good New Year's for him.
He's got a shot to start on a baseball team this
Where are
year.
You both bartending?
I mean, this kid's smart.
He's
probably going to be the next Bill Gates.
We're bartending at the Carlton. It's a wedding. Some Southside Irishman is getting married.
Dangerous.
Yeah, were we requested for this?
Apparently
you should
so, yeah.
Bring your knife.
This came out of your mouth like recently a few episodes ago.
The banquet coordinator told me about this.
Bring your knife
months
with
ago.
You.
Do we get paid extra because we were requested?
I don't know about
tips
that.
Tips only.
Yeah.
We don't do sexy time for tips only.
You were born sexy time.
So I don't know. I guess we'll talk about it when we're in the new,
Are
new
either,
year.
Is either of you going to shave your beard before then?
I'm thinking I'm ditching it.
So you're going to be one beard, one nose.
Like, I might ditch it and then bring it back around St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, sure. Diet green.
Because we're all going to miss your beard so much.
Yeah,
Bill.
Diet green.
Are you going to go out gradually, like go goatee for a week?
No. I've never
Big chops?
I've never done the goatee.
Blues Traveler chops?
The goatee might be kind of interesting.
Billy Blues Traveler over here.
Like, get some lamb chops, go into like a couple... Accounts.
Hey, what's up, soldier?
Okay. What's going on with you?
Have a guitar around your back.
Yeah.
That is a weird thing.
I had a buyer come up to
you
me.
You don't see a lot of chaps anymore.
You don't see guys walking around with guitars strapped on their back.
I had a buyer say to me where I was in his office and we were going over some numbers and he goes, oh, the beard. I like it. It's cool. It's really cool.
He said that.
And I was like, what's going on here? What do you mean? Is it cool? Like, I'm wearing it like it's a...
You pimping my beard out?
Yeah.
Making fun of my beard?
You should have flipped his desk over.
Like, cool! Let's show you cool!
You say one more thing about my beard!
Grab, like, a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle off his desk and just smash it against the wall.
No, go find...
You mean cool like a pirate?
Go find a can of shaving cream and a razor in the store and just start shaving it
just
right in front
shaving
of him.
In there?
Right.
It's over.
And banging out the beard trimmings on his desk.
On his tips over.
You don't like the beard?
On his head.
Come here.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
You ruined it.
You ruined it for everybody this Christmas.
Listen, if you don't like it, I'll go into bed and I'll save my trimmings for you, okay?
Huh? Yeah.
Hey, don't save your trimmings for me.
No, actually, I think he was actually being genuine. I just was like, it was just like
it was an awkward moment.
It was a weird occurrence. I've never had anyone compliment me like that. Like
I like your beard. It's cool. Sure.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me.
I was like, okay.
Cool beard, Bill.
I like the part in your hair today.
She said, I like your forehead. Yeah, one. Huh? You should have just picked out a weird part on his body. I'm like, I like your cheeks.
I love your index finger.
I like your dimples.
You have a very nice index finger. Has anybody ever told you that?
You got a nice forehead, Anthony.
Got good shaped fingers.
Anthony, you have a wonderful forehead.
There's Anthony. He's back on the program again.
Yeah, Anthony Ritigliello.
Anthony.
He's got a wonderful forehead.
Got a scholarship to Fresno State.
To Duke.
I can't imagine saying that to someone like, hey, you know, your kid's got a wonderful forehead. Did anybody ever tell you that?
I bet you
you were the guy who said a few episodes back that you would have no problem lecturing a young boy at a boy his father at a TJ Maxx for having, you said he was going to have, someday you're going to, you know, lose that hair.
Oh, yeah. That's like, oh, yeah. You mean when I said, like, oh, some, you know, like, if you said something, you just go up to the kid and tease him, like, mm-hmm. his father was...
Better cherish it!
Yeah, like, cherish it while it lasts, kid. And, like, looked at you like you were crazy, and he, like, pointed to his dad, like, the dome. You know what I mean?
So now you're in, like, the reverse of that in a little bit.
I guess so, yeah. You probably want to make... You probably want to punch someone.
What are you guys expecting to pull in on New Year's? 1,000 each?
No way.
No way.
5,000 each?
No, those days are over.
50,000 each?
50 grand. Those guys made 50. Don't make fun of...
You know why I bank with bartend? I make $50,000 a week.
There's some bartender out there making $50,000 on New Year's Eve.
No way.
In Vegas, maybe. But he's also
Puff Daddy's bartender.
Puff Daddy's bartender made $50,000 last year on Vegas.
No, like a bartender probably on like a private yacht somewhere.
I mean, he's got to be like, there's some caveat to it, you know? Like he's...
He's Tony Ritigliello's nephew.
He's like James Bond of bartending.
He's Jason Ritigliello.
Jason Ritigliello, the Bond of bartending.
Catcher from Mount Prospect High School.
Yeah, he's like blowing glass and stuff like that, you know?
Who, the bartender?
Yeah, that's how you make $1,000 a night as a bartender.
Oh, he's got like flair that's amazing. Like all of a sudden he's blowing glass, he's doing magic tricks, right.
he's
making
a giant glass.
He's like, watch this, and he pulls his pants down and like 6 brandy-infused ice cubes fall out of his pants, you know? And be like, oh my God.
And then he carves something out of ice.
Yeah, well, he's already
done. With a chainsaw.
You're right. A Corvette.
68 Corvette.
Dude, this bartender, we got it. This 68 Corvette ice sculptures. Blow your mind.
Guy's dynamite.
He's dino. He also poops brandy-infused ice cubes. His name's Gino.
Gino Ritigliello.
He's $6,000 an hour.
He's 6'5".
$6,000 an hour, yeah. It was a 10-hour New Year's
shift. That's a great name of like an old like band. $6,000 an hour.
He's got a 3-foot ponytail, this guy.
My dad and his brothers, yeah, they got a 60s cover band. They're called $6,000 an hour.
Yeah.
Opening for the Buckinghams, $6,000 an hour.
Your father-in-law is going to be playing New Year's Eve.
Good call.
Where?
Cliff Johnson and the Rain will be performing. It's Fitz's Spare Keys in Elmhurst.
God bless.
Yeah, they will. I gotta look up what time that show starts. I believe it's a 7 p.m. start.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool
have
stuff
that place
going on.
Rocking.
Our old, I know.
I walked into work today, and one of the attorneys that works in the office, he throws his. He goes, "I'm gonna throw my playlist on." He throws his playlist on.
Yeah,
and it's playing for the entire office. 4 songs in is "Stay in Time" by Off Broadway.
Get out.
I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm like. Turn to him, I'm like, is this your playlist? He's like, yeah. I'm like, are you an Off-Broadway fan? He's like, oh, love him. Power pop, 80s. I'm like, that's Cliff Johnson who's singing. He just spent the weekend at my house for Christmas. He's my father-in-law. You know, the guy was like, no way.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing to, like, see the cult status that Cliff's popularity and you know, and artistical talent brings to people. They get really overjoyed when they... You hear it. They're like, what is
nostalgia?
Yeah, but it's like they don't. They're like, are they still playing? I'm like, yeah. You know, it's kind of like they don't even know that.
It's like
it's
if I saw
thing.
Billy Corgan,
right?
Like I loved you once,
Billy. I loved you once.
I actually took when Brendan was like
Billy Corgan's still very prevalent. He's still around.
Yeah, and he was a mega. I mean, mega giant star.
Mm-hmm.
I took my son to his little tea place. He's got a tea store in Highland Park.
Really.
Yeah, so I took Brendan there when he was like one and hoping to run into him and
no dice, huh?
Bought a $12 cup of tea instead.
Yeah, for sure. Should I play an off-Broadway song?
Play that one. That one's great.
Which one?
Stay in Time. That's a classic.
I feel like we've played that a few times on this program. All right,
fine. Play something else. What do I care?
I don't know. Let's see. Bill, do you have any...
New Year's Eve, like, tunes?
Yeah.
Bill, what's your favorite New Year's Eve song?
You know.
I mean, I could go back.
I could see you as, like, Pour Some Sugar On Me type of guy.
I usually like to... I like Billy Idol dancing
Midnight
with
Hour?
Myself. In the midnight
that's
hour.
That's a good one.
Another one that always... we were at a party once in high school where we trashed a girl's basement when this song came on. And I'll forever...
Good,
like,
nice boys.
I'll forever remember it as for as like the song that came on at New Year's, and it was Ozzy Osbourne's I Am Iron Man. And then just the place went up for grabs.
On New Year's Eve.
What's your most memorable New Year's Eve?
I don't, you know, I really can't put my finger on one.
I can, but I can't really.
I would
talk
say
about it.
The one that I have would probably be a few years back. My wife and I went and saw The Wolf of Wall Street in a theater at the Cinemark, like by ourselves, like no one else in the theater. And then went out and went to Kevel's afterwards and got, you know, partied it up hard.
Yeah.
And my wife woke up the next day and couldn't find her engagement ring.
Oh.
That was like, and I don't, you know, bad things happen. Bomber, right? Yeah. Just slipped off her hand. But that's, you know, you carry, like, whenever there's something like an event like that, like, a, you know, that's why that one sticks with me. Yeah. Other than that, I haven't had, you know,
you can't remember.
They're all kind
of
a haze. Yeah, right. And I kind of outgrew the New Year's guy. You know?
I remember that 2000 when, you know, the Y2K
thing. Oh yeah, I was up at Marquette for that.
There was a weird kind of aura about that.
You were hoping for Y2K.
I spent it that on Michigan Avenue in like Grant Park, and it was really kind of wild.
I remember being at Marquette praying and crossing my fingers that Y2K would happen so that they would lose my grades.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
I was like, dude, if this thing goes down, I get to start fresh.
They had already printed your
grades
out.
I get to start
out.
Fresh, and we're going back to horse and buggy, right? There were guys that were like, we're going back to the Wild West, and I can't wait. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, horseback, guns.
I got 70,000 cans of tomato soup in my basement.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This show often takes a lot of quick turns.
Real quick.
Yeah, just 90 degree. So I thought that I would play a little off-Broadway quick turn so you can see Cliff Johnson, the former lead singer of off-Broadway, with Cliff Johnson in the Rain at Fitz's Spare Keys. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Here it is.
And then you make a quick turn, check
fine drumming.
Oh yeah, that's Quick Turns off of the album Quick Turns by Off-Broadway.
God bless.
You can see Cliff Johnson of Off-Broadway fame live at Fitz's Spare Keys on New Year's Eve. That's Sunday night. That's tomorrow night. 7 p.m.
Nice.
How about it? You got any New Year's Eve plans yet? Other than we're working, Clay, what are you doing?
I'm going to a friend of my wife's house and bringing the kids, so it's like a kid thing.
That's nice.
Yeah.
The kids go outside and bang the pots and pans. And
It's a food overload, so I'm really excited about it.
Good.
This food family everywhere. Is Italian, so they go all out.
Nice. Yeah.
I like
nice.
That.
Yeah. Nice.
All right, well, we're in the final stretch of the show here. We're going to do one more commercial break. Hooli's Hooli returns after these.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember, their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story. Have you been worrying about your mom and dad as they get older? Wish they could sell the house and move where life's a whole lot easier? Smith Village, located in the Beverly neighborhood, is a life plan community that's backed by the strength and experience of Smith Senior Living. Smith Village offers a full continuum of care. Your folks are entering a unique and special phase of life, shifting from worrying about their to-do list to exploring all the things on their love to-do list. They're expanding their interests, learning new ways to relax, and making new discoveries. And while they're exploring their passions, Mom and Dad will appreciate the convenience of having dining, housekeeping, utilities, maintenance, social events, fitness classes, and wellness programming all covered by one monthly charge. For a limited time, take advantage of our 3-month trial stay program to experience life at Smith Village without the risk of an entrance fee. Ask about our new trial stay program by calling 773-614-6836. 773-614-6836 or visit the website at smithvillage.org.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Yeah, go get yourself some McCann's Irish Oatmeal, finest oatmeal in the land. Welcome back to the final stretch run here of the Hooli's Hooli. I'm Patty Houlihan, my brother Bill's joining me, as long as our great friend Clayton O'Brien. We've been been talking about the New Year's and Christmas all episodes, as I get more plural with it in Chicago again.
No, the holidays are going to be over, finally.
Finally, they're over. I feel like they came and went, to tell you the truth, rather quickly.
I feel like
because you got kids and you don't.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
We're like, what?
Right.
No, we're lingering for too long.
Well, yeah, the holidays will be over soon, and then what do we got? The Olympics this year.
Yeah, I love the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's there it is. Thank you.
See, I can whistle because of my gap in my teeth.
Now, John Tesh didn't write that one.
He may have.
Tesh, did you write the Olympic theme just like the NBA?
NBC Olympic theme?
How about they just play that for the Olympics?
That'd be great. Now, this is the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
This is winter sports.
I get into that. You got hockey, bobsledding, figure skating.
Downhill skiing.
All the drama, you know.
I love the speed skating.
I do, too. I love it. I love the speed skating. That's my thing.
Slippery little guys.
I like
slippery
that curling.
Little fellers.
That curling, that speed skating.
That speed skating, them slippery little fellers.
Man,
that's wild
what,
to watch, man.
You
They're
watch
really
all
moving.
Those Swedish and guys from Normandy.
I should have been a speed skater.
They're could've fast.
Been. Yeah.
Finish.
Huge, giant thighs.
Doc, I never became a speed skater.
I'm sorry for all the bad things I ever did. I never even became a speed skater.
I never even gave it a chance.
My biggest regret, I never became a speed skater.
Good night. That's what Marlon Brando said on his deathbed. I never became a speed skater. I should have been a speed skater. Whatever.
Speed skating. What else we got going on?
Speed skating. Yes. What else do we have to talk about now? Get through another speed skating bit now. We were going to be talking about New Year's resolutions a little bit. Do you have one?
Come on, Bill.
Come
on, Bill.
It's every year smoking.
Don't do it.
Yes,
keep,
I was going to say
don't
this.
Don't do it. Keep smoking.
Smoking.
New Year's resolution? Not have a New Year's resolution.
Mine's to keep
where
smoking.
Where I say I'm
going to
smoke.
Smoking. No, last year I did really well about going
smoke
back
more.
And starting to eat a little bit better and getting in better shape.
Yeah.
And then this year I think, well, you got to really take a chance.
Up a notch,
get rid of the smoking, and then... And I haven't been to the gym probably in like 4 months, so I gotta get back. Like
I gotta get back to the gym. I gotta get my tan on, and I gotta start getting in this Bitcoin before it's too late.
You need an event. You need like to train for something. Do like that.
Okay.
Do like that where they crawl through the mud and all that nonsense.
Like a tough mudder.
Yeah.
Those are hard, man.
This year I'm doing a tough mudder. My New Year's resolution.
There's lots of people that
have crawl
that.
Through mud.
No, it's an afternoon on the Northwest Side where I visit 44 bars and I roll around on people's front lawns.
You know, there's probably a guy out there that at like the stroke of midnight he goes tough mudder. You know, like that's what he's doing.
That's the commercial for tough mudder.
Tough mudder. Eight,
don't
five,
be a wussy this
four,
new year.
Three, two,
don't be a
one.
Wussy.
Tough mudder! Don't be a wussy. Crawl through mud with 1,000 strangers.
Yeah. For no reason at all. Yeah. Other than to say you
I've heard,
did it.
I've heard that on some of these things, like they have like little zaps that like of like electricity that if you don't avoid it, like zip. They're hard, man. It's like,
you know, that we're talking about obstacle courses at this point, and it brings up I wrote a spec kind of little thing when I was in film school, Clay, about that took place on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. It was called Topsiders. It was about a bunch of young preppy kids in the 80s, mm-hmm. all right, who essentially rent out a hotel, like a Hilton hotel, but it was like a, you know, like a Marriott in Florida somewhere where they're, you know, their parents are very wealthy and they all rent out a hotel to play laser tag in.
Okay.
All right. And one of them's a killer.
Right.
Of course.
And he kills everybody, and you can't figure out which Topsider did it. And it takes place on New Year's Eve. It's called Topsiders.
Who did it?
Who did it in the Topsider movie?
Who done it? Who done it?
Wasn't one of the...
Well, who done did it?
Wasn't somebody from the
Walnut
family, was
it? You told us the synopsis for the movie. You can tell us who done did it?
Was it the
I hadn't written it yet, Gomer.
Was it right one of the now. Walnut family?
Well, right there, I'm interested. I want to know an ending.
Did Ricky Walnut kill him?
Yes, Ricky, starring in Topsiders, Ricky Walnut. It's a dreadful little tale about a bunch of spoiled brats on New Year's Eve playing laser tag in a hotel that Daddy paid for.
Dustin Walnut.
I lost my wind. I was so excited.
Dustin Walnut, Ricky Walnut, and the rest of the crew.
They're all in it.
The Walnuts and the Retainers.
Better than the Outsiders.
Topsiders. Better than the Outsiders.
Ricky Walnut. Dustin Walnut. A New Year's Eve gone wrong.
Topsiders. Starring Ricky Walnut and Dustin Walnut is better than Outsiders? Come on.
I had a thought on the way to the show tonight. Now we're just talking about hypothetical movie synopsises, right?
Uh-huh.
Hypothetical movie synopsises.
Go.
That's another class at Harvard you could take.
Well, I
was a major in hypothetical movie.
Listen, you jerk. I took hypothetical movie synopsis at Yale.
I want to do a remake of like Dumb and Dumber. You know, the same concept, two dumb guys. You know,
yeah, right.
It's a partner movie, like a comedy duo movie where these two guys are it's like one guy from River Grove and another guy from, you know, EP or Melrose.
Sure.
Right?
Okay.
And it's Bobby Bitcoin and Christopher Crypto, and they're the two dumbest traders in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they get themselves involved in like a tech hub community where they become, you know, essentially crypto they become enthusiasts.
Cryptomaniac.
Well, it's not crypto. It's something. it's not cryptocurrency, but it's a new currency. And they're like guys who are like, you know, the geniuses behind this new currency by mistake.
Yeah.
What do you think? Can we sell it?
They call them gold balls.
Gold balls, starring Sebastian Maniscalco and Andrew Dice Clay. All right? Bobby Bitcoin and Christopher Crypto are two dumb traders.
That's a great idea that they start their own. Let's start our own currency.
Right. They start their own currency.
We'll call it gold balls.
Yeah. Gold balls is trading on the NASDAQ. Right. The world has gone crazy for gold balls. Brought to you by two brothers from River Grove, Bobby Bitcoin and Chris Crypto.
Hey, what'd you get the kids for Christmas this year? You'll never believe it. We threw a couple of gold balls in their stockings. Happiest kids on earth, man.
I bought them shares of gold balls.
Right. My wife, she remortgaged the house to get more gold balls. Am I losing it? Are we crazy here? Is this going to take off or what?
Bitcoin's out, gold balls in.
So I saw my first Bitcoin thing today. I'd never seen one of those machines.
Ray was that just became the coach from Major League.
Yeah.
Is that actor's name?
I have no idea. Yeah.
Kill me is the manager.
Oh, come on. Come on, Wild Thing.
Come on, Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky. Come on, Ricky.
Bitcoin.
I saw a first Bitcoin, like...
James Gammon is the actor's name.
I saw my first Bitcoin, like... almost looked like a pay station today. Have you seen these things?
Yeah, sure.
You could, like, buy Bitcoin on it.
I'm not sure what those are. I
don't want to deal with Bitcoin.
I was like, what is this?
All right.
Bitcoin ATMs, Bitcoin.
Yeah,
everything.
It was in the market. It was in a market downtown. It was in the market downtown. I don't want to give away what market it was, but I was like, wow.
Oh, Winklevoss, Winklevoss, Winklevoss.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a world of Bitcoins.
Tell me your thoughts on things.
Yeah, I forgot about Bitcoin the Musical. When is that going on?
Facebook and crypto and Bitcoin are your thing.
Don't start.
It's in production.
Yeah.
It's in pre-production.
Bitcoin the Musical? Pre-production. I also got a comedy called Gold Balls. Little twist. It's for a little different audience, but it's just
I'm also
good.
President of the Cab Drivers and Motion Pictures.
Sammy Ritigliello's development deal
Local
portfolio.
2000, no big deal.
And we're also doing a very Southern Christmas starring the Walnuts.
Of course.
The Walnut Brothers.
The Walnuts.
And we're also doing Topsiders.
Topsiders.
We got five
and Elijah Wood will be in one
we
of
just,
these films.
Elijah Wood's definitely in Topsiders.
Elijah Wood's at oh, for
he's
sure.
He's the lead Topsider.
No, he's the front hotel desk clerk. He's the hero of the film.
The kid's ageless.
No, he's like the concierge at the hotel.
The concierge.
You have to remember, Topsiders is like Less Than Zero meets Die Hard. Okay? It's like insane.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's a jam, I'm telling you. We're going to have, like, M83 doing the
soundtrack. I want the last scene to be, like, at the implosion of the hotel, like, each floor.
Right. And it cuts to a shot of Topsider deck shoes running down a hallway in slow motion. you know?
I love it.
And a swole Channing Tatum with a golf shirt on.
Let's do it.
Gun.
If Sharknado can get big, we can do this.
For sure.
I agree. That's why I'm talking about it. I'm hoping, there's an executive out there who reaches out.
Hey, good meeting.
I saw...
hey, guys, good meeting. It's good coffee.
Did you guys see this? I saw Downsizing.
You saw that?
Yeah, I
went and
saw
that?
It last
night. What's
Downsizing?
Matt Damon.
Yeah, the new Matt Damon movie about where he turns into this little guy.
Yeah, it's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
It's
with
pretty
Matt
much
Damon.
That's what it is. It's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with Matt Damon. No, I thought it was going to be really like a lot more funnier and like, yeah. But it ends up being like this kind of... Yeah, love story, and I'm like, what's this all about?
You know, I'm about to do something. I think I might go see a movie by myself.
It's my favorite way to do it.
But I'm dying to see The Disaster Artist. I wanted to see The Disaster Artist last night, and it was too late. Like that.
To see the Winston Churchill movie.
Should have saw. Gary Oldman's getting a lot
three
of.
Three and a half
hours
long.
Is it 3.5 hours?
3:14.
Woo! That's long. Pretty long. Yeah, I don't know.
Casino. Yeah.
I don't know. Bought a bag of Sour Patch Kids last night.
I'm telling you right now, Gold Balls is going to be a flat 83 minutes.
4.5 hours.
83 minutes in and out. Boom.
Yeah.
83 minutes and nonstop laughing. 23
minutes. So this movie last night was over an hour and 20, more than that. It was 2 hours long.
Hey, listen, us
too much, too long.
And I was like, come on. And then finally, but like
weird. People don't have the attention.
An hour
for
and
that.
15 minutes into it, I was like, all right. I finally, I was like, I got to get the waiter over here. And I'm like, hey, I'm like, can I get some Sour Patch Kids and some popcorn?
Waiter at the movie. Did you go to Movie Co. or somewhere like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. And like he comes over and I'm like, how much is it? And he's like, it's $12. And I'm like, okay. I give him a 20. He's gone for like 30 minutes.
Because he bought an extra Sour Patch Kids for himself and he went in
and
the corner.
I turned to the girl that I'm with.
And
I'm like, is this guy coming back? She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, and he did come back. And I was like, hey, you got my $8? And like, what'd you get? An $8 tip for a bag of Sour Patch Kids and a popcorn?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it and I was like, give me $3. Felt very Costanza. It should be like,
yeah.
Like pulling the dollar out of that guy's
fancy
head.
Joint.
Thanks, yeah. Bill.
Okay, sorry. Whoa.
We're getting toward, this is the end of the program. If you've enjoyed the last hour of the show, you can find archived episodes of the Hoolies Hoolie at freecrack.com, or you can search us on iTunes and search for Free Crack. Do not search for the Hoolies Hoolie. Search for Free Crack, CRAIC, and you'll find it there.
You can find it on any podcast app. So if you download the app on your phone for any podcast or media player.
Oh, and while you're at it, write a review and leave a couple of stars. You know, that always helps too. Leave five.
Or leave one and tell us what jerks we are.
I like the hate mail. Bring it on. This show is also sponsored by Hibernian Transmedia. It's presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. Stick around for the crack with Gino Cooney and Mike Houlihan. Right. That's the program that follows this one.
Yep.
They tape that show live at the Irish American Heritage Center every Thursday night. And stick around for the traditional Irish music sessions that follow. Show starts at 6.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to my friend JTP. My buddy Jamie, who listens to this show, big comedy fan, told me he was digging it.
Oh, I like it.
There's your shout out, JTP.
He wasn't a wrestler. I remember there was a wrestler called JTB.
Nope, JTP. Stands for certain things, but I can't say it on the air.
All right, JTP, Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Until next week, stay safe out there, and goodbye.